Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I am your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you guys could join us today. And if you haven't already, make sure you hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like, as that always helps us to continue to bring in the great content that you love and the ones and the content that we love to share with you. Today, we have a great guest on our show, and this guy is an author by day and a song guy, music man by night. And he is going to share his story with you today. So without further ado, let's welcome Dennis Welch to the show. Dennis, welcome.
Thank you, T.S. I'm glad to be here with you, man. This is a blessing. So thank you for having me.
Amen. And we're looking forward to the show and looking forward to hearing all the great content and the great wisdom that you're going to share with us doing this type of work, living in the beautiful city of Nashville, Tennessee. So, all right, here we go. So Dennis, without further ado, why don't you just talk to us a little bit about your story? Tell us about how God has led you through your journey.
So, you know, we alluded to it a little bit in the pre-conversation, you know, that, look, I don't believe in accidents. I believe in divine appointments, you know. Amen. And I look back now over my life and I realize that there's a theme there, there's several themes, but one of them is that, you know, that the right people showed up at the right time, at exactly the right time that I needed them to show up. Amen. And that, you know, people ask me sometimes in these interviews, you know, boy, you know, how did all this happen that's going on for you these days? You must really be strategic. I'm not. I'm not strategic. You know what? I'm tactical, T.S. I'm doing today, like Jesus said. There's enough trouble tomorrow to worry about tomorrow. Just do today. And so I just do today, and I know what's on my agenda and what God has given me to do on Saturday that we're talking, but I don't know about Sunday yet. And so, you know, and so that's really how I've lived my life. And it sounds I have two business degrees. I have an MBA. You know what? They didn't teach us that in MBA school, that you should just do today. I mean, they want you out here 5 years out. They don't want projections and stuff. So for me, it really started, you know, as a kid. So my parents were both had some real issues. My dad was a binge drinker and he'd been in and out of jail. My mom married for the first time when she was 14, had my oldest brother when she was 16, divorced, had my older brother. She married a guy who was probably a polygamist. And he would go to the store to buy a box of matches. He'd be gone for 6 months. And she had my older brother, Keith, and then she divorced. And then she met my dad, and she had just already decided, T.S., she was not marrying again. She certainly was not having any more children. Well, my dad was very charming, apparently. And so she married again. And then he talked to her about having another child, and here I am. Okay. Well, you know, somewhere in all of that mess, one of my mother's relatives said, you know, Patsy, you've tried all kinds of stuff. And she had a drinking issue as well, but she was a functional alcoholic. She could still do what she did every day, right? Yeah. And so one of her relatives, thankfully, said, hey, why don't you try God?
Amen. And so I got to say amen to that. I don't mean to cut you off. You know, amen.
We know, especially in retrospect.
Let's try God.
That's the answer. Just try God. And so wow, anyway, so she started it. Going to this little church down on Berry Road in Houston. And I, by the way, I'm in right outside of Austin. That's where I live. And, but I grew up in Houston. And so one night after she'd been going a while, my dad hated that she went to church and made it really difficult for her. And I was a baby. I don't remember really any details about this, but I know because I wrote a book called Rich People Shop Here about her and our family, that where I sat down with her every Saturday, interviewed her for 2 hours and recorded those interviews and then wrote this book. And I heard things every Saturday, T.S., I heard things. I'm like, really? I thought I knew how this happened, but you're telling me something completely different. And I think everybody should do this with their parents. But anyway, one night after she'd been going to church a while and she'd already gotten saved and she was baptized and, you know, and she was fully in to the church. She came home and poured all her alcohol down the drain. She never drank a drop for the rest of her life. Okay. And so anyway, one night she woke up and my dad was sitting on the edge of the bed smoking a cigarette. And he was clearly troubled. And she said, Ronald, are you okay? And he said, no, I'm not okay. He goes, you know, he said, I'm just sitting here filing back through all the terrible things I've done. And what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to carry this stuff around for the rest of my life? And she said, well, you know what? I know you don't like us going to church, but it's your lucky day. Okay. It's your blessed and lucky day, because we just learned last week that when you bring your issues that you're thinking about to Jesus, he casts them as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. Amen. Like they never happened. And she said, you know what? He wasn't a big talker. And she said, you could tell he was really thinking about that. Well, a couple weeks later, T.S., he comes to church in his own car and sits on the back row and doesn't socialize. He's just there. He wants to hear it for himself, right? And eventually he got saved. And I'm telling you, on the day he got saved, all of our lives changed. Okay.
Amen.
You know, he stopped drinking. He became this amazing, really revered guy who had less than half a dozen friends in his whole life. And he had people he was leading. He became a deacon in the church. He was amazing. And so I grew up in the church. We were there all the time. When a revival happened, we were there every night. Okay. And so, you know, so I became a Christian in my young teen years. And, but I never thought about, I knew that I was called to do something like we all are. Right.
Amen.
But I didn't know what. And so, around 17 or so, 17 years of age, I'm driving home from a date one night and I didn't even play a musical instrument. Yes. This was out of the blue. I start writing a song driving back to my house. And I write a whole song. And so, the next day, there weren't phones like there are now to record anything. And so, you know, I didn't know what to do with this song. So the next day I went into my job, I was selling furniture and bedding and stuff. And my boss, Mike Simpson, always kept his Ovation guitar under his desk. And he hears me humming this song all day so I can remember it. And finally, toward the end of the day, he goes, "Hey man, what is that? What are you doing? What are you singing?" I said, "I wrote this song driving home from a date last night." And I said, "I don't know what to do with it." He goes, "Why don't we play it?" And he took his guitar out, and he started playing the song, and we sang it together. And that was it. You know, the hook was set. And he said, "Look, why don't you go out and buy a guitar, a little cheap guitar, and learn how to play it? And you know what? If you don't like it, you can give it away later and all this stuff." Well, he didn't know what he was leading me to do. So I went out and bought a $100 Ventura guitar, and I started learning chord progressions, but I couldn't learn chord progressions without hearing the story, without hearing and seeing the words, right? And so I started writing. I did a record in 1980, more of a gospel record. And a miracle happened. A guy in my church just gave us the money to do it. We didn't have any money. And then I did a rock and roll Christian rock record in the mid 80s that did really well, went all over the country. And I got to open for people that everybody had heard of and all that. And then so I occasionally would record. And then in 2000, I did a record, and I came home from that TS, and I told my wife, I sat on the couch in there, and I said, you know, I'm worried. I said, because I'm not very good. I'm not a producer. I'm not an arranger. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep writing as if I'm going to go in the studio and make another record sometime, but I'm not doing it until I find that person who knows how to elevate this stuff. Because I think there's another gear that we have here that we haven't hit yet. And so anyway, I didn't know what I was saying because that was 2000. 18 years later, I still haven't been in a studio. And so I'm in my mid 60s at that point, and I come home and I sit on the couch in there and I told her, I said, hey, you know what? Now I have a new worry. Okay. I said, I'm afraid that I'm going to die and all of this material is going to be in a drawer somewhere and nobody's going to know what to do with it or what it's supposed to do. And that'll be the end of that. And so she said, well, you know, you have that prayer list that you pray through every morning for an hour. She goes, and you got everybody else on there. She goes, why don't you put something on there for yourself? So I thought, oh, there's a novel idea, right? So I put on there something like a publishing recording guy or something. I don't know. It was terrible. Well, 3 months later, after 18 years, we're driving through Nashville. We go to dinner with some friends, and the guy friend, the husband, it had been in Little River Band for 20 years at that point, and he was producing their records. He was a remarkable guy. He's even nice looking. It's not fair to be him, okay? And so
not fair.
He and his wife and their little adopted kids at that time, they were little kids. We went to this big Mexican restaurant. And so they were all sitting down there, and Rich and I were sitting across from each other. And I was never going to ask this guy to do anything for me. He was my friend. And I'm like, if he wanted to help me, he'd say so. Right.
Right.
And so I don't want to be one of those people bugs him. Exactly. So anyway, and so we just were hanging out down at this end of the table, and out of the blue, he goes, hey, Dennis, what are you working on? Cause I know you're always working on something. And I said, well, I got a new song that Susie thinks is the best thing I've ever written called Why Not Me? And I said, and he goes, really? He goes, well, what are you going to do with it? And I said, well, I don't know, Rich. That's a $1 million question. I have no idea what to do. I'm going to put it in a drawer with all the other songs, right? And so he goes, well, I got an idea. He goes, why don't you sing it to me? And I said, right here in the restaurant? And he goes, right now, sing it a cappella to me. And so I just start singing, there's a mountain wide and high, it reaches halfway to the sky. I start singing it, and everybody in that place could probably hear me singing like a nut, right? So I only sing the first verse and the chorus. This is how much God loves us, TS, okay? So I'm not even thinking about Rich being the guy. I'm just singing to my friend.
Yep.
And he goes, you can stop now. He put his hand up at the end of the first chorus. I didn't even get to sing the whole song. He said, look, first of all, Susie, as usual, is right. Okay. And second of all, I'm supposed to help you with this. Did you know this? And I said, well, not till this very second. He goes, well, I am. He goes, let me produce this song. And I said, so do you want some hotshot Nashville great singer to sing on, or you want me to sing on it? He goes, no. I want you to sing on it. So we do Why Not Me. And when I got that recording back here at this desk I'm sitting at right now, TS, it was the best recording I'd ever done in my life.
Okay? Amen.
And so he calls me and says, what else have you got? And I said, well, I got this song about forgiveness that's really based on my dad's story, by the way, called I Can't Remember. And it's sort of a Roy Orbison-ish type of thing. And he said, well, let's do that one too. So we do that song, and after that song, the next call was this. He called and he said, listen, I've been doing this a long time. And he said, I know when something special is happening, and I did not know you had this kind of material, so let's make a record. So we record an album. I have no records for 18 years, TS, and now I'm recording one. It was like an out-of-body experience, honestly. And so So I submit it to the Grammys, and it makes the first Grammy ballot in five categories. So nice. I didn't win a Grammy, but somebody inside the Grammy organization thought, man, this is really good. You know, this could That's be. Awesome. So is we should Amen. Be voting on this, right? So I go from nothing to that. And so then we do a record in 23. So 21 is What Love Makes Us Do. It's on all the streaming services. Then in 23, If I Live to Be 100, another album, and it's out there. And it also made the first Grammy ballot. And then this new album is called Strong. And Strong, there's a story. We'll get to that about the title track. But it's right now is being voted on by Grammy members in four categories.
Amen.
And so here's my deal. I'm 69 years old, man. I'll be 70 next January. And so, you know, I meet a lot of people, TS, that are of a certain age that say, you know, I'm sort of being asked to step out now because of my age. I'm like, why are you listening to that lie? You know, because you don't know. And here's the thing is if here would have been the tragedy. And you know about this, TS, because you've written books. So you've written four books at least. When nobody was asking you to do it, there was nobody, no audience for it, nothing. You sat down in a room and wrote them. So you know what that's called? That's called obedience. Okay.
Amen.
And so here's what I would say to anybody who asks me, you know what? Don't stop doing the thing that you know you're here for. Don't stop doing that. I never stopped writing songs, even when there was nobody that cared and there was no recordings. There was no reason really to do it except that God told me to. And that's so, because here's what I know is you don't know what's around the next corner.
Nope.
I'm just going to dinner with this guy and he says, hey, and all of a sudden everything changed, brother. And it was like, okay. So, because I just think that's what happens to people is people get to a certain point and they go, you know what? I just don't see any results. The numbers don't add up. And like we talked about earlier and all those things, it's like, what do you care? Just get in the room in there and do your calling. Right. Amen. And so it's been like that. And the only explanation I have is that God loves me and he has called me to do something. And he is going to provide a way for me to do it.
Amen.
Probably not on my timetable.
No, a timetable is always his. It belongs to him, not us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always telling him when I want him to do stuff, but instead of doing it my way, he does it right.
That's right. Exactly. That's a good way to think of it. I like that. So you know, Dennis, I love the fact, you know, you're talking about just really giving us the understanding, not only of a story, your story, but really just a life lesson in how working with God, how it really works when we're working with God. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the part of obedience and there's all this stuff that he wants us to do and he guides that. And then there's the part of him taking it and doing something with it on his timetable.
Yeah. And it's always something, TS, that you can't imagine. That scripture that says it'll be better than you can ask or think.
Amen.
It's totally true.
It is.
You know, it's just true. And I think, you know, I don't know if I knew that. You know, I read through Hebrews occasionally. I'm reading through the scriptures. I'm not on an app or any of that. I just read and I just put a little check mark. So old-fashioned, right? But every now and then, I'm in the Old Testament right now. I have to take a break from the Old Testament. And so I go to like Hebrews and I read the whole book of Hebrews. Amen. And, you know, it's interesting that whoever wrote Hebrews, I guess Paul did, who knows, but whoever wrote Hebrews understood that this life of faith that we're in is a maturing It's a maturing life of faith. So yep. When you start out, you go, what are we talking about? Putting our last dollar in the plate? Why would we do that, right? But then, you know, you get to a certain place in your life, which is where I am now. It's a wonderful place to be, where you go, listen, God's got this. But I didn't probably know that when I was 20. And, you know, and so how do you find that out? Well, you know what? You step out on the ledge a couple of times when he says, hey, I'm asking you to stop doing what's safe right now. Okay. Your job is a safe job. Supposedly it has at least the illusion of safety. I'm asking you to stop that and go do this thing I want you to do. And, you know, I look, every missionary, I have missionary friends. I have a guy who was in my first band is in the Ukraine and has been ministering to the Ukrainian people for 35 years, he and his wife. And you know what? When I sent him a note when that war started, I said, hey, Mark, I said, I hope that you stay safe. And you know what his answer was? He wrote back and said, what do you mean safe? He goes, this God's work doesn't have anything to do with safety.
Nope.
It has to do with being here, being obedient. And he said, look, if I move to Poland right now because I could, I got to come back when this war is over and face these people who think I care about them and they know I do. So how am I going to explain that? And how am I going to explain myself to my Savior who has asked me to stay here and do what I do? You know, so look, I don't think God's work has a lot to do, I agree, with safety. You know what I mean?
Amen.
You know that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you can't play it safe. I mean, if you're, look, and this is how I explain it to people. No matter what you do, no matter what decisions you make in life, at some point you're going to pass away.
Yeah.
Now, what is your end goal? Is your goal to work for God and please Him and serve Him and most importantly, glorify His name? Or is it for you to protect yourself so you can arrive safely at death's door?
Right. Yeah. Listen, you know, that's a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's regardless, you know, like my dad said, there's two certainties in life. There's taxes and death. Right. Yes, I mean, he used to tell me that. And guess what?
He's so right.
That he's exactly right. And that death thing, and they tax you even after you die. So,
yeah, right.
But that death thing is coming no matter what you do. Which one are you going to decide? Are you going to just go all in with God to glorify Him regardless? Or are you going to walk a road and just protect yourself and live in your comfort, convenience, and all hidden and protected to do nothing but to simply arrive at death's door?
Right. And not accomplish safely. Anything. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So one of the best examples of this, T.S., that I have seen in a long time, I have had a new friend in Nashville. His name is Mark Hauser. And people talk about meeting unicorns. Like, this guy's a unicorn. He says, I've never seen anybody like him. You know what? This guy really was a unicorn. Okay. He was a creative font. And so about 16 months ago, he went into his doctor and he found out that he had metastatic pancreatic cancer.
Oof.
So what does he do? Okay. This is a godly, amazing, creative guy. He, on his way home from finding out he's dying, he calls Rich Herring, our producer. We share a producer. And he goes, hey, man, I just found out I'm dying. And so is my camera messed up?
A little. It's a little hazy.
Okay. I wonder how I can fix that. Can I turn my camera off for a second?
Yeah, now turn it back on.
Yeah, I didn't do it, did it? I don't know what's going on. It's a brand new camera. Well, I'll just talk to you anyway.
Yeah, just keep going.
So anyway, so he said, he called Rich and he goes, hey, I just found out I'm dying. Like he's catching a bus, right? And he said, I've got a couple of months, I think. My doctor says two. So I've got two albums worth of material that I want to record and put these albums out before I go. Can you help me? And Rich said, well, that's a rhetorical question. You're not going to feel like singing in 2 months. So why don't you come over here? And right now, come right over here and we'll turn my click track on. I'll get out my acoustic guitar and we'll cut your vocals right now. And so that's what they did. That's not how records are made, by the way.
Right.
So those two records came out, T.S., and they're beautiful. Okay.
Amen.
His second call, I guess, was to me. And he said, hey, man, I've got two books. One is the first in a series. I'm clearly not going to get to finish. And I want to, I want you to help me get these books out before I go. I said, let's go. So both books came out. One's called Seeds. And the other one is a first in a crime series. So anyway, so then in the fall of last year, Now, remember, this guy's supposed to last 2 months. So he's into the fall now of 24. He's out living all the expectations. So he calls me. I was in Georgia. And he goes, hey, man, you know, I want to do something else before I go. I want to write a song with you.
Amen.
And he goes, I've been carrying this title around in my billfold for 5 years, bigger than me. It's all bigger than me. And he goes, can I tell you something? This means something different than it did 5 years ago when I wrote it, because it's all bigger than me, what I'm facing right now. Right. So we write Bigger Than Me and we record it. It's beautiful. It's on this new record on Strong.
Amen.
So get this. So he's still alive. And by the way, he asked his doctor, he goes, hey, I have 5 songs on an album that's a Grammy finalist. And I'm wondering if I can buy my tickets and go to LA for the Grammys. And his doctor said, I don't think I would do that, but that's your call. He goes to the Grammys, TS. He doesn't win, but he goes to all the after parties and has all this influence out there for Christ. It was wonderful.
Amen.
So anyway, so 2 weeks before he passed, he'd already called hospice in, and he texted me and he said, hey, Dennis, I had this vivid dream last night. Essentially about what I'm going through. And he said, I woke up this morning, I wrote this poem, and I wonder if you think it might be a song. I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I read through it and I said, it's the first time I've heard any melancholy from you at all in this whole process. I said, this is a very moody, melancholy song. And so, yes, I know what to do with it. So I write this moody, melancholy music. I put his poem into there, make it work. We tinker around with it. And then 2 days before he passed, now, this is a guy that's dying right away. He's getting ready to go. He sends me a text and says, I love it. And I'm going to save that text forever, by the way.
Amen.
I said, well, okay, good. I'm glad you love it. But you know, I got to file around on the edges and stuff to make it better. So I'll send you this next version tomorrow, and then we'll have a song, and I'll try to cut this song sometime. Well, the next day I send the new version, the final version, back to him, and his wife answers and sure. says, Mark's not going to be able to talk to you because he is not speaking, and he's now on morphine 24 hours a day.
Right.
It could happen anytime. So a few weeks ago, I was in Nashville. I cut that song.
Amen.
And you know what I see, TS? When I saw that, I said, that is obedience with a capital O.
Amen.
This guy had to feel bad. Probably the last 6 months of his life, he probably didn't feel like anything. But he still did the work that he was here to do until the very last second.
Amen.
And you know what? That's what I want to do, TS. I want to, and you do too. You're doing it.
Amen.
Right? Is there any other way to go about this? I don't think so.
No, you got to obey. And obedience, look, obedience is the calling. Think about this. What did Jesus commend? Faithful obedience.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he praised. He did it all the time in the Gospels.
Yeah.
You
yes,
can read
he did.
The Gospels. That's what it is. It's obedience. Yes. As a matter of fact, God honors obedience more than he does sacrifice.
Yeah, apparently, because that's what it says.
That's
yeah.
what it says, baby. Yeah. I mean, you know, hey. So he wants obedience. And obedience, what obedience is a symbol of a heart that is pursuing God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, and that's what he wants. He wants us to pursue him with an all-out, relentless effort. Relentless.
So you would love. So we thought the title track to this album was a song I have on here called Relentlessly.
Amen.
And it's about that. It's about how you loved me all along. And I didn't know that. I didn't know. I was trying to make up. You loved me even when I didn't know you did. But as you see, it didn't become the title track because Strong became the title track. And here's why this matters. So we thought we had the title song. We thought Relentlessly was the title of this album. And one morning before we went to church, I was in this room right here, and I was over there tinkering around with my little tinker toy piano. And here's what I heard in my spirit, T.S. I heard, you know, for a man of faith and an optimist, you sure live a fearful life. And so, and here's the thing, 99% of the things you've worried about in your life have never happened to you and they never will.
Nope, that's right.
And so here's what I heard. Why don't you stop living like that? And why don't you write your manifesto? And I wrote strong.
Amen.
I want to feel strong. The course is, I want to feel strong. You know, I want to feel invincible. For once in my life, I want to feel like the battle is winnable.
Yeah.
You know, I want to believe, and then I want to face it all head on. You know, that's what we're talking about.
Amen.
And, you know, and that's that those things that God asked us for, obedience better than sacrifice, all those things. You notice that it wasn't conditional.
Nope.
It didn't say, hey, T.S., when things are going great and your bank account's full and stuff, you know what, man, just follow me and don't. No, he said, look. He sent the disciples out without anything. How about that?
Don't take a purse.
Don't take anything. Just go. And I'm like, really? Well, that's kind of what we're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, trust me. My bank account, it's not smiling at me these days.
No, mine either, brother. But you know what?
But we just keep going.
Right. And you know what? I bet, T.S., I bet you have what you need for today.
Yep.
Apparently your electricity is still on because we're having this conversation, right?
Amen.
And so that's what I'm doing now. As I walk out on my back porch and I look out across, I live on a golf course here in outside of Austin and in a little one-story bungalow. And I say out loud some mornings, do I have what I need for today? And you know what? The answer is always yes. So that's what he wants.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, Dennis, I hate to wrap this up because we could go on and we could have a 3-hour show without a problem and probably keep going after I took a drink of water and regrouped for a minute.
Yeah.
But if somebody wants to listen to your music and get a hold of that stuff, where can they do that?
So the one thing they can do is then come to DennisWelchMusic.com. And there's a little pop-up box that says, hey, you want to stay in touch with us? You want to know what we're doing? And you put your email address in there, and then we don't wear you out. We do a once-a-month newsletter that we send out to catch you up on what we're doing, when records are coming out and those kind of things. Or when we're doing do gigs in your area, right? The other thing is if people stream their music, which most people do now, you know, it's on every streaming service. I mean, look, it's one of the things I love, T.S., about the new world. A lot of songwriters go, I hate this because we don't get paid as much. There's no product and all this stuff. Well, I don't love that.
Right.
But what I do love is that my record company, when I finish recording an album, you know what he does? They do. He pushes one button and sends it to an aggregator who sends it everywhere in the world. Just like books, you're going to find out. You know, Amazon is, by the way, Amazon and all the places you can buy electronic books and physical books and everything, your book will be in places you can't imagine.
Yeah.
And so so if people stream their music, they can certainly find Strong, all of my albums, actually. But the last three are Strong. And then in 23 was If I Live to Be 100, and 21 was What Love Makes Us Do. So those three new records are there. If they want to hear, but they can listen to, they can go back and listen to all that old stuff too, if they want to. So,
amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Dennis, I just want to say it has been an absolute joy to have you on the show. And
thank you for having me.
I love your testimony and just your wisdom that you've been able to impart to our audience. And
thank you.
So just to our audience, hey, I just want to thank you guys for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. And thank you for your continued support of this show. And I just want to say this, if you haven't already done so, make sure you hit that follow and subscribe button. Give us a like as we want to continue to bring you that great content. So now on behalf of myself and Dennis, I am T.S. Wright. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation and let the great harvest begin.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. And we just want to give a big shout out to Richardson, Texas, who is a community that is a big supporter of our show. And they download a lot of shows and listen to everything that we put out there. And we just want to say we thank you for that. And we hope at some point that we can come visit you and be able to minister to you guys and to bring you the God-centered concept to your area. And that goes for every area we've given shout outs to. And if you want us to come to your area, then get more people to download our show, as that is the areas that we want to focus on, are the ones that are really listening and tuning in. And we want to be able to come to you guys and be able to minister to you the discipleship program that we have in person and getting you guys connected to our online programs. So please reach out to us. Let us know that you're listening. We can obviously, we see it in our downloads and our numbers, but we also, if you give us a message, we can also respond that way. Thank you guys so much for being great listeners, Richardson, Texas. We are praying for you, and we pray the gospel continues to impact you and our show impacts you in every way. God bless every one of you, and thank you. And we hope to hear from you soon.